The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Will you please stand and join me in prayer? Gracious God, you breathed your life into the dust of the earth, creating us in your image to love and serve others. Animate our worship with that same breath, that as we confront the darkness of the world, we may fix our eyes on your eternal promise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Lent is the church's season of repentance. To repent means to turn. We turn from the ways that we are selfish and fall short, and we turn to the God who is selfless and carries us and comes to us no matter where we are. So in humility and faith, let us turn to God by telling the truth about ourselves in our confession. Holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. We have not listened to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, O God. We confess to you, O God, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives. We confess to you, O God, our self-indulgent appetites and ways and our exploitation of other people. We confess to you, O God, our anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. We confess to you, O God, our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts and our dishonesty in daily life and work. We confess to you, O God, our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. We confess to you, O God. Accept our repentance, O God, for the wrongs we have done, for our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. Accept our repentance, O God, for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. Accept our repentance, O God, for our waste and pollution of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Accept our repentance, O God. Restore us, O God, and let our anger depart from us. Favorably hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And as we prepare to hear the word of God for us, the forgiven people of God, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your word to us is hope and love and life. By your Spirit, give us ears to hear your word and hearts to be transformed. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching the people what it means to live as people of God. From Matthew, listen for God's word to you. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. We never get too far from the Sermon on the Mount. Every so often we might practice our faith with a little less attention, and then all of a sudden a line comes to us like, oh, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you or turn the other cheek. And Jesus' words remind us of the difficulty of living the gospel. Jesus asks impossible things, and every once in a while we get the sense that he's serious. But taking our religious observance seriously has problems too. And that's why Jesus is so challenging. In our rush to be faithful, we might remember his words tonight. Beware practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Sounds like he says, by all means, be Christian, fast and pray. Go to worship, even on a Wednesday. Go to the dinner beforehand. Join a Bible study or a committee. Just don't let anyone see you do it. That's an oversimplification, sure. All of those things might be good. His point is that none of them are good if they're done for the purpose of inflating our own sense of self-importance, as if any of us needed help with that, or as if church could really do that except for pastors. Jesus challenges us not because he's worried that we won't keep religious holidays or that we won't give or fast or pray. Jesus challenges us because he knows that we are in church listening to him. and that we still do all these things, and there, precisely there, is the danger. The practice of faith, going to church, helping others, praying, giving, can lead us to the conclusion that we generally have things together in our lives and are therefore different from the other, from people around us, and maybe sometimes even without need of God. All of this holds with the old Reformed doctrine of total depravity, an idea that's often misconstrued to mean that we can't do anything right ever. And that's not what it means. It means kind of what Jesus says tonight, that even the good things we do, our best intentions, our religious faith and observance, that can lead us away from God too. That's why it's challenging. And so Jesus gives three examples of what this looks like. First, he imagines people who make a fuss about giving alms, giving to the poor or to the religious community. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus holds up this example of a poor widow who gives her last penny. And we don't ever learn her name, but that's what it means to give. This is in contrast to the well-heeled Jerusalemites who visited synagogues and temples to make great displays of their wealth and giving and their importance. And so some commentators imagine that there are great brass containers like trumpets in the temple that held the offerings of people. And so you would go up to one of these to make your offering in public. And if you dumped a bunch of change in there, it would make a great commotion. So I remember doing the same thing when I was little and the offering would come by and I would throw my weekly quarter in as hard as I could to make a clanging sound in the middle of church. And it's no different than children here. Jesus says, these people have received their reward. The second example Jesus gives has to do with prayer. In essence, he says that there's a difference between prayer as honest faith before God and prayer as an honest effort to boost yourself in the eyes of others. And I think we can understand what's behind this too. Who of us, even at our best, doesn't want to be considered compassionate or wise or helpful? And that's the trick, though. Who wouldn't mind if that was noticed in our religious observance or in the way we pray? We don't set out to pray to be selfish, but maybe if we're not careful, that happens, and all of a sudden our motivation becomes different. We elevate ourselves into God's place, thinking that we're deserving of approval too. Instead, be humble. That's what Jesus says. We heard from the psalm that a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Prayer is meant to encourage God's help to us, meaning that it's an admission that we can't always help ourselves. Last, Jesus says, be careful the way that you fast. Don't fast, don't give things up in Lent at all times for the sake of approving or getting people to approve of you or of being pious. No one does this to appear pious because there's nothing that's particularly pious about giving up Facebook or coffee. It may be that this particular caution about fasting is less important to us in our tradition since fasting is relatively new. But we do get into trouble if we try something new in faith and then all of a sudden we think somehow that we're special. As with examples of giving and prayer, doing something to become big rather than small, to become powerful rather than to become powerless, to be noticed rather than to be anonymous, directs us away from God and towards a mirror. In our heart of hearts, we know that's not what we want. But sometimes you just can't help looking at yourself. And so, as with much of the Sermon on the Mount, really all of it, the one person who can do this is Jesus. That we are incapable of living up to the ethics Jesus preaches should give us some humility. I think it does, especially when we consider things like our giving, our prayer, our fasts in light of His. And so it's in the ways that we fail at our faith rather than the ways we succeed that directs us into the arms of God who loves us no matter what despite our flaws, and certainly not because of our greatness. How could we ever appear great before God? The Apostle Paul quotes an ancient hymn of the church in his letter to Philippi. He writes, "Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The lesson is old, but worth repeating since we are human and we forget from time to time. The greatness of God is not in the mighty act either, not in the consuming fire or the wind or the storm, but in the still small voice. Not in the recognized act of giving, but in the simple and anonymous act of kindness. Not in the perfect turn of phrase, but in a simple request made in faith. Not in the power of this world, but in the cross that shames it. Jesus says, don't try to be somebody. Try to be nobody. God can make you into more than you can. You just have to give up doing it yourself. So how do we do that? Lent marks Jesus' journey to the cross. And it begins when we remember our limitations. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's what we say in the imposition of ashes. This turning begins when we come with empty hands to a table to receive a broken body and a life poured out for us. That's where we learn what love looks like, what faith looks like, what God looks like. It's where we learn in the words of the early church that God became like us so that we might become like God. Powerless, anonymous, giving, loving, faithful. Only in giving up do we receive what God has for us. And so Jesus invites us to this table not because we are full, but because we are empty. Not because we have everything together, but because we don't. Not because we are like him now, but because we will be like him when we receive his love and grace. So Jesus Christ invites you to come to the table, to remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, and to breathe new life even into that dust. I will invite our elders to come forward as we prepare to serve. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are our God, and we are the creatures of your hand. You made us from the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of life, and set us in your world to love and serve you. When we rejected your love and ignored your wisdom, you did not reject us. You loved us still and called us to turn again to you in obedience and love. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Thank you. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Out of your great love for the world, you sent Jesus among us to set us free from the tyranny of evil. He lived as one of us, sharing our joys and sorrows. By his dying and rising, he releases us from bondage and sin and frees us from the dominion of death. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Called in Christ, fed by his grace, joined in his body, we remember those we have been called to serve. For the poor and the hungry, for the sick and the suffering, for the abused and oppressed, for the doubting and dispirited, for your creation which cries for you, for your church that expects your presence. Lead us, O God, by the power of your Spirit to live as the Lord requires, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ until this mortal life is ended and all that is earthly returns to dust. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God."
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, we are dust, but in your hands we have life. Animate our life by your Spirit, by the grace which is in your Son in this meal, and so work through us to bring life into your world that needs it. We pray all these things through Christ our Lord, who is with us in that same Spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.